The 2018 Teaching Series in the USA. Heart Drop of My Heart Advice. 4. Speaker Kenpo Sotrum Nodrum. For more lectures, please visit our official website, www.luminouswisdom.org.
We are going to begin now with our teaching. So the main topic for this afternoon's teaching will be the five uncommon preliminaries. So this morning we looked at the four common preliminaries. The four common preliminaries, by completing these exercises after we have established a strong renunciation, then we move on to the five uncommon preliminary exercises. So the four common preliminaries that we looked at earlier today are common among all of the traditions of Tibetan Buddhism, whether it be the Nyingma or the Kagyu or whichever school. In terms of the uncommon preliminary exercises, some schools or traditions in Tibetan Buddhism have four uncommon preliminaries, others have five uncommon preliminaries. In the Nyingma tradition, particularly the Nyingtik tradition of the Nyingma, there are five uncommon preliminaries. So it's through the preliminary exercises that we bring our minds ever closer to the Dzogchen teachings. Whether it is wood or grass, when it's in a really dry state, just needs a tiny flame for it to burst into flame. However, if the wood or grass is a bit damp, then it's very difficult to burn. So by means of practicing the uncommon preliminaries and the common preliminary exercises, we bring our minds step by step closer to the state of the Dzogchen teachings, such that by the time we have finished the preliminary exercises, we'll have developed our minds to a relatively advanced point, such that just by hearing the Dzogchen teachings, we will be able to recognize the basic nature of our mind.
Dzogchen
in terms of verbal language, explaining what the state of great perfection is, without the exception of the words that are used, are very minimal.
대니베르당아초 삼만자다 오만자다 딘디기 중인다나 딘디 츠크고니 리슈잠니 단딘디지 딘디지지 딘디 나초 샤파당니 어 딘디지지니 수소랑가 딘디시나 딘디 동고 돌아고와 딘디 랭기오레세
디 탐보디 지레
삼마 삼마
삼마 올라세
삼마 다오마
In terms of fields of study such as logic and the Madhyamaka teachings, then these are teachings that we can apply logical analysis to, we can interrogate, we can investigate to establish whether what they posit is correct or not. In the Dzogchen tradition, too, there are many texts, very many, many thick text volumes.
In that, this one, Naladini, somebody, Tamadini, Dzogchengatini, Zava, Dzogchenga, Rubazia, the Songoyo Mari, Dzogchengatini, Yalanga, but in the Mambo, Songoyo is
Yalangzana?
Yalang.
Oh, Yalak.
Yalak.
Just branches, yeah. Mm. So, but it's not the case that everything that is contained within these texts all relates to the root of the Dzogchen teachings or Rigpa. Quite a lot of the writing in these texts relates to different branches of Dzogchen. Exposition of the root of the Dzogchen teachings, the exposition on Rigpa, is expressed in very minimalistic language.
Then the Gimsunti Karezina, the Gimsunti Penangatsu Njiting, the Tanya Rigpanda, Simkum Rigpanda, the Nikorata, the Nijang Rigpanda, the Nangatsu Kajashan, the Gimsun Shad Mambo Mambo Rishi Jamniab, Halipa Mambo, the Nijachimbo, the Nijamna Chokores.
The reason for this is, in science and in psychology, there are many very elaborate explanations are given for many things. But since the great perfection is pointing to the essence of our minds, it isn't described using a great deal of language. The reason for this is it is something primarily that needs to be experientially understood. So whether or not or one's understanding or the ultimate one's recognition of one's mind through the Dzogchen teachings is really reliant on whether or not one has properly accomplished the preliminary exercises. There are some people who cast the preliminary exercises to the side and just focus on Dzogchen meditation. It seems there are people who are like this in the West. There are a few people in Asia too who take this approach of following their own preference of practice, just doing Dzogchen practice without having completed the preliminaries. Even though such people claim to be practicing Dzogchen meditation, in fact, what they are practicing is Shamatha meditation. If we want to practice real Dzogchen, then it's important that we start with the preliminary exercises and progress step by step. So we can use an example to illustrate this, that of a spaceship. So a spaceship, if it is going to be launched into out of space, it can't be launched of its own force. It needs something else to carry it, and that's why we need a rocket. And the reason for this is that the force of gravity is too strong. And so in order for the spaceship to be able to overcome the force of gravity, it really needs something strong to help it. So once the spaceship reaches or goes beyond the field of gravity, then it can move about freely by itself and it is no longer reliant on the rocket. So we can say that the Ngondro is just like a rocket launcher. And our mind is rather like the force of gravity. For us to sort of pull it away and launch it of itself is difficult. We can't. But by completing the preliminary practices, then we arrive at a point when we are ready for the Dzogchen teachings. So it's really important that we realize the importance of the preliminary practices. If we wish to be genuine practitioners of the Dharma, if we wish to practice in accordance with the genuine standard of the Dharma, then it's important that we rely on the instructions of the past masters who have gone before. We have over 1,000 years of experience accumulated by past masters who have given clear instructions about how we should practice.
And
depending on whether their advice is the kind you can accept or whether it meets your preferences. If it's necessary to make small or minor adjustments, then this is okay. However, in terms of making big changes to the path of the Dharma, then unless one has a teacher like the Shakyamuni Buddha or Guru Rinpoche, then this shouldn't be done. Because if we go about making just somebody ordinary saying, oh, we can do it like this, we can do it like that, and making changes in an ad hoc way, then we will enter into a mistaken path. If we had a teacher like the omniscient Longchenpa, then that would also be okay. However, if it's just an ordinary person saying, oh, that would be better if we did it that way, or this would be better if we did it this way, then this is a dangerous way.
And
many people are putting a lot of effort into practice under such instructions and toiling away will find themselves with no result in their practice. For example, these days in the West, there are a great many people practicing mindfulness meditation. However, this kind of mindfulness meditation is not like Dzogchen practice. It's not geared to realizing the basic nature of the mind or anything like this. This is a kind of meditation that is geared towards relieving pressure or stress that we might have or psychological problems. It can be beneficial to these things. For the time being, this is essentially all that we seek, bringing some benefit to our mind and providing some relief, then this is fine, it's okay. If for the time being we don't have great goals like achieving Buddhahood or liberation or realizing the nature of our mind. And if this is the case, if our goals are of a more modest nature, then it's not necessary to do the preliminary practices. If, on the other hand, our goals are to realize the nature of our mind according to the Dzogchen teachings, to achieve Buddhahood, if we have great goals like this, then it's important that we follow the traditional course of practice because this is a path with no danger. So we have already finished looking at the uncommon four preliminaries, and from here we go on to looking at the five uncommon preliminaries. So we are going to start on page 14 with verse 14 for the first of the five uncommon preliminaries. So this verse is primarily about refuge, taking refuge.
아니 겸존도 되니 실탄 가서 출력 참아가 되니 겸존라고 되니 대전 잡본라고서 잠발한 거 출력 참아가 되니 시작해요사래서.
And as far as refuge is concerned, there are many. The refuge here is seems rather similar to refuge traditions in other religions.
이나 난슈고 되니 겸존도 양 출력 잠바단 라그마래서.
However, the Buddhist refuge is different to that in other religious traditions.
Tene gandhi guni jang marizina ta nanchu nala tene pena nga cho ta ngara sangji la tene chap san rona tene ngara jima maung bala su su rang kable chi yang jam gu par tene sangji ge tene ta ngara yar tene tharwa thopa ta sangji ya tene she kre samba tene ge tene kyam do de mariz.
So it's not the case in Buddhism that by taking refuge in the Shakyamuni Buddha that it is thereafter not necessary for us to make any effort ourselves. It's not the case that by taking in the refuge in the Buddha that the Buddha will deliver us to liberation or deliver us to Buddhahood. So what we should think when we are taking refuge is that the Shakyamuni Buddha, that the Buddha is our guide along the path, our teacher. So the reason that we call the Buddha our spiritual guide is because he serves as the guide for us in our spiritual path. So the belief in one's mind or the intention in one's mind, the recognition of the Buddha as one's guide along the path is the first object of refuge.
Then the ma to ba zian nga su tini o nga rang la ji man so wa na ma che na la du bo yo na che bo yo na cha ma san ji ge shi ba yin sam ni den ri su tin sam ge ma re zi tin ri sam ji ti jam ro ze ge ma re.
So we shouldn't think that having taken refuge in the Buddha that subsequently all suffering that we encounter, all happiness we encounter has been created by the Buddha. This is not what we mean by taking refuge in the
Buddha.
And neither is it the case that in taking refuge in the Buddha that we should think, oh, in having taken refuge, the Buddha's going to be happy and is going to be good to me and treat me well and I'll have a good future in store. This too is not what taking refuge in the Buddha is about.
Nangchu nani tini shabi sangi, sangi nra tini yinna, sangi yinna, pena nga su chulu zhanga nani tini sombi tini lhanda wo, tini nipa chimbo, tini mares, tini nipa chimbo yin zhiga yon mares.
In the Buddhist tradition, it is not claimed, as in other religious traditions, that Buddha is a god with great power.
Tini, Simjin so soso tini shawa dhukpo le, tini le yona, tini simjin so soso tini dhungar mambu nyunga reze. Ti kapsa sanji layang tini tapsi chichi yoga yo ma reze, sanji yang nipa yo ma reze. Ti kapsa simjin namga tini dhukpa mambu le, tini koranga dhungar nyunga tini che yona, sanji yang tapsi yo ma reze.
when beings in the world do bad things, do unvirtuous things, and then encounter the results of suffering, there is nothing that the Buddha can do about this. He's got nothing he can do. So, for example, with the First World War or the Second World War, of course, the Buddha would have wished that none of them had taken place, that not even one person had undergone suffering. However, beings in the world are not listening to the advice of the Buddha, continue to go about their wars, and this is not something that the Buddha could do anything about. So when we talk about the Buddha rescuing beings, what do we mean by this, to rescue? Well, the Buddha is by showing us the path, showing us the path. If we enter into this path and practice along this path, then we can arrive at a point of no suffering and happiness. And this is what the Buddha rescuing beings means. There's a story about this in the sutras. So there was a person who, through doing unvirtuous actions, received the rebirth of a four-legged insect in a lake. So the Buddha took many of his disciples to the side of the lake and pointed to the insect in question and told them what had happened in order to educate them. In the past, there was a Buddha who also took his students to the lake and imparted the same advice. So in the past, many Buddhas had brought their students to this lake and had educated their own disciples in the same way, pointing to the four-legged insect and describing how they had received this rebirth on account of unvirtuous actions.
Tini maung bala tarong yang sanji mampu pep kere song ore te maung bala sanji mampu yang korang so lo ma so chini sachan de la yong ni o ti simchin ti ngama tin di dba chini din la ki ware je ni tini ngo chu chini tin di je kere se maung bala sanji sacha ta ba ji la yang tini sanji mampu tini pep kere se.
And the Buddha also said that in the future there will still be many Buddhas who will bring their students to the side of the lake and educate them in the same way by pointing to this four-legged insect.
Then yinna tini sangje sona nga chu sangma la tini ta thapsi mendug songyo res.
But what the Buddha said is that all of us, there's nothing that we can do about this.
Ah tini khwarang ga tini mrgi wa ga tini le tini sak sarvi jini
because after this being has already accumulated the negative karma, there's nothing, there's no intervention the Buddha can make.
Oh, tindi yindi tati kari shek yore zena tindi yindi ngatso sanji la chap sanjo na tani ta ngatso gangdang kangya na tsangma ngatso la sanji ga tini gobjuk je gare sanji ga ngatso tarwa topar shi sanji ga ngatso tini demo kipo yongya tindi shek gare zena tani.
What we can see from this is that when we talk about taking refuge in the Buddha, it's certainly not a case of the Buddha then delivering us to happiness, delivering us to liberation, bringing us happiness and freedom from suffering. This is not the situation, not the case. However, taking refuge in the Buddha has great inconceivable benefit. And the benefit that arises from taking refuge in the Buddha is not benefit to the Buddha, but our own benefit in taking refuge and following the Buddha's advice. And it's said that if someone takes refuge in the Buddha with great conviction, then their liberation can be achieved in a relatively short period of time. However, the benefit of refuge is not does not derive from the Buddha, it's not created by the Buddha, it's the benefit to ourselves. The second object of refuge is taking refuge in the Dharma. So when we take refuge in the Dharma, this entails a commitment from here on in to follow the Shakyamuni Buddha's teachings. And the third object of refuge is the Buddhist Sangha.
Tini gendan la kyapsun rawa ti pena gendan ti nga tsogo tini lopchong rawo. O tindi gugoni tini nga o ta nga ta panchut tini nga ranga chu nyamsi linya ga tini chu nyamsi linbi kap ga tini chokbo ti sen zena tini gendan ba yin si. Tini nga tso gendan ba tang nyamdu nga ranga chu nyamsi linga yin samni tindi samgo yore. Tila gendan la kyapsun rawa zega yore.
So the Buddhist Sangha we can look upon as our Dharma friends, our fellow practitioners, those who are friends in the practice of the Dharma. So this is what we mean by the Sangha. And yes, this is what it is meant by taking refuge in the
Sangha.
So when the Buddha teaches the Lama, teaches the Buddha Dharma, he instructs us, he shows us the path. And the path that we talk about in this context refers to the Dharma. And if one is able to practice well the Dharma that the Buddha teaches, then it is possible to achieve Buddhahood. It's the same as if we were to study in an ordinary school. It's necessary that we have three conditions fulfilled. The first thing is we need a good teacher. The second thing, we need good educational content. We need a curriculum. And the third thing that we need is the support of our fellow classmates or parents. And once we have these three conditions in place, then we can proceed to study effectively. And it's the same with our practice of Buddhism too. We also need these three conditions. So insofar as the person who shows us the path, our teacher, this is the Buddha, and so we take refuge in the
Buddha.
So refuge doesn't mean anything other than this. It entails a recognition of the Buddha as one's teacher, one's shower of the path, and an acceptance of this. In terms of the Dharma is equivalent to the curriculum that we have in schools. So when we make a commitment in our minds from now on in to practice the Dharma, then this is what it means to take refuge in the
Dharma.
And if we don't have fellow members of the Sangha, then it's very difficult for our practice. We need fellow members of the Sangha to instruct us so that we can proceed with our practice. Or we could say that it's the same as when we go to a hospital. If we wish to cure an illness, we also need to have three conditions in place. The first of these is that we need a good doctor. The doctor also needs to have good medicine. If the doctor doesn't have any medicine, then they won't be able to do us any benefit. And besides those two things, we also need the nursing staff who assist the doctor.
So
So the Buddha is just like the doctor who prescribes us medicine. The Buddha is like the doctor who helps us to resolve the sufferings of cyclic existence. So this is why we need to take refuge in the Buddha.
아니 산지가 추디 나랑가 낫더니 말 낫주야거든이 만 연 삼반다고 된지 건드시고 그래.
And then with the Dharma is like the medicine that cures our illness.
아더니 베나 긴든바디 내가 소라더니 만발아 록바진이 나서 낫더니 디 낫주신 건가 만주신 건가더니 만지바 다바인
And the Sangha is just like the nurses, the nursing staff who assist in our treatment purpose. This is how we should think. When we are in a school, it is necessary that we rely on our fellow students. And when we're in a hospital, we need to rely on the doctor and the medicine. And
it's
the same with our study of Buddhism too. In order to do this, we need to rely on the Buddha, on the Dharma, and the Sangha, and by relying on these three, our study of Buddhism will come along well. So it's important that this refuge, this commitment we make is a stable one, that we vow in this lifetime as well as in the next lifetime that the Buddha will be our spiritual teacher, that the Buddha Dharma will be our path of practice, and that our Buddhist Sangha will be our spiritual friends. And by taking refuge in these three, this is what we mean by taking Buddhist refuge. If we wish to achieve liberation from cyclic existence or develop our wisdom and compassion to a really great level, then it's important that we rely on the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And by making this commitment, making this vow, this is what we mean by refuge. And as for the meditation or the contemplation that accompanies the taking refuge and the recitation that we need to do, the liturgy, this is explained in the words of my perfect teacher. So to practice Buddhism, or to be a genuine practitioner, taking refuge is essential.
Tanga so pe na cham ru nda da tini shang shib ko sem ra da tu su ko ra da par me pa shi cha wi ji ni tini nga so nang chu na ni nang tun chi ri ni ri nda wo tin di kha thur tin di nyam lin je na ya ti kap se tini nang chu ti je thap ko ma re.
If we take out or we throw away elements such as taking refuge and cultivating bodhicitta and just select a few elements to practice, then these elements will no longer be called Buddhism. For example, the mindfulness meditation that many people are practicing these days, this derives from Buddhism.
이나 되니 따따 때라 되니 잠주요 마레 상심 그 셈요 마레 되니 셰르요 마레 또 섬어 파르린 사르송 딜린 사르티 되니 따 나우슈제가 마레스.
However, it doesn't contain taking refuge. It doesn't contain the generation of bodhicitta or the cultivation of wisdom. So when all of these things are taken out, then it's no longer Buddhism. However, if doing this practice helps people reduce their suffering, then this is fine, and in fact, it's good. So sandwiches that we eat, they have a piece of bread on top and a piece of bread on the bottom, and in between they have a slice of meat and a leaf of lettuce, and it's only by having these things all together that we call it a sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 다 되니 가서 티톡티 진 파랄렌 오거 진 파랄렌 되니 참아 파랄렌 니티나니 로마식 보다 자나 되니 테 삼민드제 마레스.
If we took off the top piece of bread and the bottom piece of bread and pulled it all apart and just ate the leaf of lettuce, then this wouldn't be called a sandwich.
아야 이나 겨랑 로마식 보다 잔도나 자나야 초초거레스.
However, if someone wishes to just eat the leaf of lettuce, that's fine. Of course they can.
Yeah.
However, at this time, it is no longer a sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
So it's the same if we take away refuge, take away bodhicitta, take away wisdom, and just pull out one particular method that we want to practice. Well, of course, we can do this if that's what we want to do, but it's no longer called Buddhism. If we want to practice Buddhism well and effectively, then it's important that we do so in a complete manner.
Then, lam cha chang sang ato then yam se len na then ta zo ato la then mdeu yakpo thop kres.
And it's only by practicing the teachings in a complete way that we'll achieve good results. So that's why when we practice Buddhism, we need to take refuge. It cannot be thrown away to the side. So of the five preliminary exercises, the five uncommon preliminary exercises, this is the first one. And now we come to the second of the five uncommon preliminary exercises, bodhicitta. And this is on page 15, verse
15.
And bodhicitta in the Mahayana teachings is absolutely the most important thing. Because without it, then whatever we might do, reciting mantras, doing meditation or whatever, it won't be considered Mahayana practice. So the distinguishing between what is and what is not Mahayana practice hinges on bodhicitta.
Tani shangshib semte yo tsarti, tani nga tsu nombando nandra, tani lojong je nandra, gom gyam nandra, tani tsangma tani thakpa chimbo uchu, ta thakpa chimbo u nyamlin, o tani rinro gores.
Once we have bodhicitta, then any practice we might do, whether reciting mantras, studying or meditating, it's all considered Mahayana practice.
Tani karte shangchim simte mena tani nga cho partasa la pe nga cho thaba chimbo go tani chula lojung che ata tani thaba chimbo go tani chun donya ata o tindi da gandi shinaya tani thaba chimbo go chu ze mare.
Without bodhicitta, then even though it might seem on the surface that we are studying the Mahayana teachings or reciting Mahayana prayers, in actual fact, it won't be Mahayana level practice. So bodhicitta of all of our practice is the main thing. Once we have established bodhicitta, then all of our practice henceforth is very straightforward.
Tani shanship ki simte me tsarti tini ta nga tso tini chin dompa hape mangpon donji tini gom yin rangpo jab tini chin gandhi chin na yang ta thakpa chinpo na lan rothap ku mendoos.
However, without it, then regardless how many mantra we accumulate or how long a time we meditate for, our practice won't be Mahayana practice.
Ota tini yindi nga tso tini shanship ki sim gom go gore ta wana shanship ki simte
So we need to cultivate bodhicitta. What does cultivating bodhicitta entail? Well, there are two main points. The first is that we need a really great level of loving kindness and compassion. So what do we mean by a great level of loving kindness and compassion? Well, this means that the objects of our loving kindness of compassion include all beings, incorporates all beings, whether animals or humans. In the common preliminaries that we talked about this morning, the contemplation of the suffering of samsara, this has a very close connection to cultivating loving kindness and compassion. In terms of the sufferings of cyclic existence, the suffering of cyclic existence, this is something that clearly exists. It's not a matter of us having to think things entail suffering that don't. It is very apparent that suffering exists, and this is what we think about. So by thinking and contemplating over and over the suffering of cyclic existence, we arouse compassion. This is what we talked about this morning. In the Mahayana teachings, there are a great variety of methods for cultivating loving kindness and compassion. As for the concrete techniques of these methods. These are set out very clearly in the words of my perfect teacher and finding rest and ease in the nature of mind. So these are methods that everybody should study. So putting it simply, we can say that of all the suffering that we have in our lives, whether mental suffering or physical suffering, this comes about through our selfishness, our desire for our own happiness. And we should think at the same time that the really great happiness that we enjoy in life comes from benefiting other beings. This is the true source of any great happiness that we have. If we presently don't have any compassion, no problem, because by means of meditation, we can grow and increase our compassion. There are very few people who just to begin with inherently have great compassion. However, the seed of compassion is that something is something that all of us have within us. However, there are some people who when they read in books or they hear teachings about loving kindness and compassion in the Mahayana tradition, give rise to a really joyous feeling in their minds. And there are some who, in hearing these teachings, feel so moved that the hair on their fine hairs on their body stand on end, and they shed tears.
Tini te maso thapa chimbu tini sawun te tini top chimbu yopi tini sor takres.
And this is a sign of a very strong seed of compassion.
Tini tindi yena ngaso shamnyang je korte gomna tini mjopo njopo jella jegres.
And for people like this, by practicing meditation on loving kindness and compassion, these qualities will be established very quickly.
Tini yang mo kashizala tini perna tomba ni kiton te tini ta susongo tini kovi kapsi na yana suso pechata na tomba ni kiton te kovi kapsi tini yang semnala gafto ha lepa chimbo yungu yores.
And then there are other people who, when they hear teachings about emptiness, whether they listen to a teaching about emptiness or they read about it in a book, give rise to a really happy and joyous feeling. Such that tears come to their eyes. And this is a sign of a really strong seed of wisdom. And it's said in the Prajnaparamita literature or the sutras that for people like this, they will very rapidly be able to realize emptiness.
Tindi ko tindi siya mnyang jiti jilla yung po kie tsawi kapsa 어떠니 다 소소 삼노 땅에 어다 나랑 그 심진 솔라 드니 판바 접고 온데 나랑 소네 심진 솔라 드니 등머 메바당 대와 드니 요파 드니 그 레카 드니 나랑 그 레고 온데 삼네 드니 심능라 드니 담자 드니 쉐용거레스 샴냥지요 차티.
And once we have established loving kindness and compassion in our mind's dreams, then we will give rise to a strong wish to be of benefit to other beings, to see that they be free from suffering and that they enjoy happiness. And so when we make this commitment to work for this, then this is what generating bodhicitta entails.
Tani tindi ga tani shamnyangji jilla tani kiwi kapsa ta ngi simchung ga tondub go go samni tani tamja kiwi kapsa tani soso samlo tanga tarta nga rang rang la nipa chiyang mandu simchung ga tondub tabka mandu tindi indi ta nga rang yinda manda sangji go gondu tani nga rang pena sangji shakja taban drabo tindi ga o sherab tang damba tindi ga nyangji tang damba tindi zire sona tani ngi simchung mambu la tani pantok tabka re samba tindi ga tene te samlo tong khor kare te ngarang sarji go sabi samlo tong khor kare.
And when we make this commitment to work for the benefit of all beings, we will come to see that we presently only have a very limited capacity to do so, and therefore it is necessary for us to first achieve Buddhahood, like the Shakyamuni Buddha, to cultivate wisdom and compassion on a great level comparable to the Shakyamuni Buddha, because it is only at this stage that we will really be able to be of great benefit to other beings. So it is this thought, this commitment to achieving Buddhahood for the sake of all beings that is entailed in generating bodhicitta.
Then nga so karte sangje sona je nga so pena sangje shakja ta pandra o tindi ge sherb ta tindi ge nyang je chimbo yo pa tindi zre sona then nga so simjin sama la tindi pamba drup thab gre se yin na pamba drup luk tin kan ri ri zena o sangje tsari kap se tindi sangje ge nga so la deva thop par do na nga so deva thop thop ge dungmer nyongor do na dungmer nyong thop ge tindi mare se sangje ge nga so la lam to ni o tan tindi je na ta tharwa thop gre tindi je na o tindi yang tak pa yong gre so ni tindi lam ti chama la tun thop gre tindi lam ti tun char ti tindi mi chama lam kha ti lan ro ni tindi te tharwa yang tak pa la tindi ro thop gre ti simchin sangje ge simchin la phan duksur ti tindi da bor is.
So when we talk about achieving Buddhahood on a level of the Shakyamuni Buddha, or achieving wisdom and compassion like the Shakyamuni Buddha, and thereafter being able to truly benefit beings, in terms of benefiting beings, we don't mean here that by achieving Buddhahood we will be able to just deliver happiness to beings if they want happiness, or deliver beings from suffering when they seek to be delivered from suffering. The primary method of benefiting beings that is entailed here is being a shower or a guide along the path. So providing guidance to beings on the path to liberation so that they can establish themselves in the correct path. And when other beings enter into this path, then they will be able to achieve liberation. So that is the kind of benefit that is envisaged here in achieving Buddhahood.
Then the Zhen, Sanje nga cho la lam tong ba te le Zhen, ta nga cho Sanje la tapa yang po yo, then son dip tindi tindi yang po je, tindi shi tham na, then yang Sanje ga tindi shil te zaya tindi zaya yo aris.
Besides the Buddha's benefit to us in showing us the path of practice by engendering strong faith in the Buddha and supplicating the Buddha, it is also possible that we receive his blessing.
Perna tini sanje chumdende tini jarkab tila tini ta te jarkab chungchung tini zirezi tinala ti tongkir tinala jarkab ko korang ko jarsa ti tongkir tinala ti kapsa sanje yopi kapsa mo chuchu chitamba ndugus.
100,000. So at the time of the Shakyamuni Buddha, the country, the nation that he dwelled in was a small one, and in its capital city there was 100,000 people.
Tani ti kapsa tani te jagar gatini ya mjamba tani zatini mahon jamba zyone tani 종길 때라 되니 되니 봉직 시내에서 종길 그 날아용네 되니 막 잡두지 종길 때라
And at that time, invaders came from another part of India and waged war against that country.
Then, ma japi ni kumna tini nyimak chigla tini chongkir ti nangni tini mo chusu dun tini sandus.
And within just one day of waging war, 70,000 people died.
Tini te sangma sangjip chumdun dega tini nyesa nyesa tadagres.
And all of these were direct relatives of the Buddha. These were all members of the Shakya class, a caste which still exists in Nepal. And at that time, 500 young girls belonging to the Sakya clan were taken as prisoners. And they tortured these girls really terribly. They cut off their limbs and imprinted various marks on their bodies.
Then, Bomo de Soga, then, Koso, Sanji Shakatapala, then, Koso, Nyesayan, then, Sanji Yang, then, Koso, Sora, Halepaga, then, Shik Trapo, then, Tabndus, Sora.
All of these girls were relatives of the Buddha, and they had so they really supplicated the Buddha with great intensity.
And at
that time, the Buddha went to where these girls were. And the Buddha, by going to their side, blessed these girls such that all of their wounds healed. But in actual fact, at this time, it wasn't the Shakyamuni Buddha. He wasn't even there at that place. He was somewhere else. And after this event, the Buddha said that he never was there. He never went there at that time. He was somewhere else entirely. However, because of the very strong faith of the girls and the intensity of their prayers and supplication, it was an emanation of the Buddha that came to them and helped them in this way.
And it's the
same for people, whoever they may be and wherever they may be, when they encounter difficulty by praying and supplicating, say, Guru Rinpoche or Chenri Sig, then they may have the direct experience, the personal experience, and this is indeed something that many people have experience of, Guru Rinpoche or Shenri Sig coming to their assistance.
Then it is so young, Guru Rinpoche, Unguta, then Shenri's Unguta, then the Pavyongba Maris, then also Soso, then the Sim number Tapayan, then the Tapayak Boche, the Jimsenji, then
So But the help or assistance that people achieve in circumstances such as this is not through Guru Rinpoche or Shinri Sig going in person to their side, but rather due to the pure mind and the strong faith of the people in question, them receiving their blessing. And this is how they receive help and assistance.
And it is
said frequently in the teachings that during the intermediate state following our death, by praying and supplicating to our Lama, that our Lama can appear and instruct us in the proper path of practice. And other people have appearances or appearances of their Lama in their dreams, and their Lama appears in their dreams and shows them the proper path. But in this case too, it's not a case of the Lama actually really entering into our dreams. It's due to the purity of the person's mind, the strength of their faith, that through the power of the blessing of their Lama, they receive their help through this blessing. So for this reason, if we just understand the Buddha as a teacher who shows us the path, it's not a completely correct understanding. However, his role in indicating, showing us the path is very important, and in fact, this is his main role. So everyone, by practicing really well, by elevating one's realization and meditative experience to a really high level, then we'll be able to be of great benefit to other beings.
So by making
a strong vow or resolve to achieve the state of Buddhahood, to achieve a great state of realization, and thereby being able to benefit a great many beings in a really great way, this resolve, this commitment to achieving Buddhahood is what we mean by bodhicitta. So when we just mentioned before that there are two points that are contained in bodhicitta, the first of these is resolve to cultivate loving kindness and compassion, to eliminate the suffering of the other beings, and to establish other beings in happiness.
Tini nipati o tanga simjin namla tini pamba drup guna o tini ngarang tata nipamandu tini ngarang sanji gugundu sanji na tini ngarang nipa drup tapkundu o pamba drup tapkundu tini yindi ngarang sanji yin sambi tamja.
And the second point is the recognition that one currently has limited capacity to go about doing these things, and that in order to do so, it's necessary to first achieve Buddhahood. So the commitment to achieving Buddhahood is the second point of bodhicitta.
드니 디 담자 니보디 드니 찌띵아 총에 심진 참마라 드니 판바드 그 연세 심진 참마라 능으로 메바지에 대화당 담바지에 삼바당 드니 디 양보즈 용야가 치트 나랑 상기고 삼바가 드니 삼로 드니 드니 가초 냠린 그 드니 쪼 실라 작고그레스
So these two things, these two vows, these two commitments, first to work for the benefit of all beings, to eliminate their suffering and to establish them in happiness, and then secondly, to achieve Buddhahood in order to make this possible. It is these two vows or these two commitments that are really the core of our practice. And once we've truly established bodhicitta in our mind stream, then whether or not we immediately achieve Buddhahood, we'll be able to benefit a great many beings. When the Venerable Atisha visited Tibet, he had a student called Dromdomba.
And
there was, on one day, Atisha's hand hurt. And Atisha said to his student Dromdomba, "Oh, my hand hurts. Can you blow on it and give me a blessing?" And Dromdomba said, "Well, me blowing on you, Atisha, will be of no benefit whatsoever." But Atisha said, "Of course you'll be of benefit. A person like you with strong bodhicitta and an altruistic mind blowing on my hand, of course we'll have blessing. Blow on it." So even though we talk about really being able to benefit beings once we achieve Buddhahood, prior to achieving Buddhahood, it's still possible for us to do great benefit to other beings. So once we do establish bodhicitta in our mind stream, then our life goal, the main purpose in our life, becomes that of benefiting other beings. These days, as it is, many people have no life purpose at all, or otherwise, many people have different kinds of life purposes. Most of the time, we are self-interested, paying a lot of attention to our own interests. But the greater the self-interest in our mind, the more narrow it will become. It will become increasingly more narrow. And whatever object it is in question, our attachment to it, our clinging to it, will become increasingly tight. And this combination of a really tight clinging to a tight attachments and narrow-mindedness leads to nothing but suffering. But by being able to think or make our purpose the benefit of other beings, then our mind becomes very open and vast.
Tini ngatso rangtung ge tini nzamba tiso par lhopo nda ore nda ores.
So it's really important that we relax or loosen our selfish grasp and clinging.
Tini tindi yinna ngatso matsi yang halepa dikki tanda mpa dhe gres.
And if we're able to do this, then our lives will become extremely happy.
So
usually in Buddhism, life is spoken as about as full of suffering. But cyclic existence, we can't just say it's completely full of suffering or it's full of suffering for everyone in the same way. There are some people whose lives are full of happiness. Indeed, whether or not cyclic existence is happy or suffering is determined by the mind. If we continue in our current vein with no great view, no bodhicitta, and great selfishness, then cyclic existence appears as suffering. However, by cultivating a high view, realizing the nature of mind, generating bodhicitta, then the samsara, cyclic existence, becomes happy. And this is what is taught in the ornament of sutras. So it's ordinarily said that we die, then we receive a new rebirth, we live the life, we die again, we receive a new birth, and this is the process that we inevitably follow.
And for
an ordinary person who has no realization and no bodhicitta, then this is suffering. There is the suffering of death, the suffering of birth, and so forth.
Moving from one garden to the next,
However, for someone who gains realization, whether realization of emptiness or realization of the basic nature of the mind according to the Dzogchen teachings, and cultivates bodhicitta, then this process of arriving at the end of one's life and then moving into the next, receiving rebirth in a coming life, is just like moving from one pleasure garden to the next.
Oh yeah. Then the ending also.
So when we talk about samsara or cyclic existence being suffering, what we mean is now, currently, presently, it's suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So with our mobile phones and our computers, they're always being upgraded.
Oh yeah. Then 가서 뭐 어떤 이런 바 잼도 당고 그래서 가서 수술랑.
And it's important that we do so as humans continually upgrade ourselves.
Oh yeah. Then 가서 랑 어떤 이런 바 통보에 차비 값스. Then 가서 코로나티 뒤와 레마도 등물치기는 말해서.
And once we upgrade ourselves to the highest level possible, then cyclic existence ceases to be suffering, and indeed it becomes full of happiness. So currently, while we're at the lowest level, when we haven't begun practice, then we experience a lot of suffering. Cyclic existence is full of suffering. However, once a practitioner has cultivated bodhicitta, they've gained realization, then even if they find themselves when their luck is not going well, if they find themselves suffering from physical ailments, in fact, regardless of what suffering it might be that they encounter, they will not feel any suffering, they will not experience any suffering at all. The only thing they will experience is happiness. This is what is taught. And it's not necessary that in order for this to be the case that we have the absolute highest possible realization of achieving Buddhahood. Just by practicing really well, then we will be able to and establishing some view, establishing some realization, then we will gain this experience.
Then it comes and also, Susola, then in Soaganala, Chichi, Gangarata, Titi Gandhi, Jonayang, Tangato, the Tawa, La Samlotang, Yana Chula, then in Samlotes, Tami Garsa, then it pena, Chu, Chu Yarn, the Chu, the Zinagoa, Chu Corny, the Dewey Caps, the Jim Bicaps.
And we'll find ourselves when we experience difficulties in life, hardship in life, whatever nature they might be, that just by thinking about the view or thinking about the Dharma, then it'll be just like when water is really on the boil, on a rolling boil. If we tip a bit of cold water into it, then it immediately subsides. And so this is what the effect of just thinking a little bit about the Dharma will have on whatever negative emotions that may be experiencing. They will dissolve very easily.
And
there are many thousands of Dharma practitioners who have had this experience. And this is something that all of us can experience for ourselves when we develop our practice to a sufficiently advanced level. We will be able to discover experientially that this is the way things are. We will be able to confirm for ourselves. And so now we come to verse 16, which is about relates to Vajrasattva practice and purifying obscurations.
당아초 미스단스 나가서 머기와 망보 당아더니 되니 드비오리 되니 머기 바티초 파르더니 다 어디 득바티초 파르탁 딱버시 고그레스 나가서 냠린 라테니 득바티 메바시 고그레스.
So all of us, all humans have done many unvirtuous actions, and it's necessary for us to purify these actions, to purify them through practice. So it's just like if we've got a mirror that is covered with a layer of dust or dirt, we're not able to see our reflection in the mirror. But by wiping the mirror free from dust, then we are able to see our reflection very clearly. And if the defilements and obscurations in our mind are quite serious, then this has a harmful effect or a hindering effect on our ability to achieve realization. So that's why it's important for us to purify these obscurations through Vajrasattva practice. And once we have done this, it will be easy or straightforward for us to achieve realization following the Dzogchen teachings. And so as for the actual concrete practice of Vajrasattva meditation or purification, instructions are found in the words of my perfect teacher. These are methods that everybody should study. Even though everyone has done a lot of unvirtuous things, by purifying that negative karma, it is possible for it to be eliminated. Because this negative karma or unvirtuousness is not the essence of our minds. If a mirror has a layer of dust on it, the dust is not the mirror. The mirror itself is not dusty. The dust only accumulated on the face of the mirror subsequent to the mirror being there. So just as the mirror's inherent nature is clear and is pure, so too is the inherent nature of our mind, and we refer to this inherent purity as our Buddha nature.
And
because the dust is not the inherent nature of the mirror, therefore it's easy to wipe it off, to wipe it clear. So the various obscurations of our mind, by doing Vajrasattva confession practice, it is possible to purify them and to purify our minds to an extremely clear and clean state.
So Lurjisen hwa ga teni nyamlin te res.
So even though there are a great many different kinds of confession and purification practices, the most powerful and the best is Vajrasattva practice.
Tani tan din nang la ngus tini songya te la nga chongon ro nga ga nang ne tini sim tini song du sin din nang la sim.
This Vajrasattva practice is considered the third of the five inner preliminaries.
Ngatsundi nala tera jamroda semketa dorsim se tsusumdo songdus.
Okay, so we've now covered the first of the five inner preliminaries. First, refuge. Second, bodhicitta. And now third, Vajrasattva.
Tini ti thola mandar da tini lami namjurni ka jana tini ngondro ngaze gres.
So if in addition to these three, we add the mandala offering and guru yoga, then we have the five inner preliminaries.
Oh yeah. Oh, then the indi that tini yanchu ti tini nga chungun ro tesu sangma shatsar songs.
So everything up to this point we've already addressed. Riva. Ding ngun la yana tini nga chungun sangma shatsar.
Tini yanchu ni.
Oh, yanchu.
Yanchu ni. Okay.
So we have now finished the preliminaries. So of the five inner preliminaries, we have taught on three of them. But the remaining two we haven't addressed. In the words of my perfect teacher, there are detailed instructions on each of these five preliminary practices.
Oh yeah, tini ta teri tini terang ngatso terang ngatso chatte tina la jakin.
So we are going to bring to an end our teaching for this afternoon.
Tini ta ngatso muwa chigin.
So let's end now with a dedication.
Tini ngatso tartan tini tini muwa chena muwa cheba dang nyamte ti muwa ti tini mi jambala tini semchen jambala ti chuschik thola phantong rogores.
And this dedication that we do now, right at the same time, is of benefit to other beings. And this is exactly the same as quantum entanglement.
Page 5 on the prayer booklet's dedication and aspiration.
Zambo Jojo.